Hey everybody, how's it going? It's Lucas here back with another podcast episode. Happy Thursday. Hope you're having a wonderful day. Hope your week has been wonderful so far. I am a little excited today to be making this episode, and it's something that I don't think I've talked about at all or very much with my audience. And so today you'll get to see a sort of glimpse into what my life in high school was like on the positive end. And I know I don't talk about that very much. When I usually refer back to my high school life, I refer back to the negatives of the people I had to deal with there, about my home situation. But there were some positives to my high school life, and today we'll be talking about one of them and how that manifested into this legacy that I left in my high school. And so from the years of, let me think about it. I think it was 13, 2013. From like 2013 to 2016, right? That was my sophomore, junior, and senior year of high school. I was involved in badminton. And this was a sport that wasn't very played much at school. We had recreational activities every now and then, like in the spring season of my sophomore year, we had this event going on where teachers were hosting badminton in one of the gyms that we had. And this was just for a few weeks, basically just as like a little club, something that people can go to after school to play some badminton. Nothing competitive, nothing serious, and that would be it. It was just like a little club. And then that was the end of my sophomore year. And then I decided, you know what? I really like badminton, and I'm going to try to make this an official sport. Because at our school, we had official sports that were recognized as, junior varsity and varsity sports. And these are probably terms that you're familiar with if you are in high school or you've been through high school and you know somewhat of your athletics, right? They are classified as junior varsity sports. Or varsity sports. Well, some sports have JV, as we shorten it, or varsity, or both. Well, actually, no, I don't think they only have JV. It's either you have varsity or both. And so, for instance, you could have soccer, right? And soccer could be JV or no, it could be varsity or JV and varsity, right? It depends on, like, I guess, how serious or how big the sport is. If it's a really big sport, it's probably going to have junior varsity and varsity teams for that one specific sport, right? And so we already had a number of different sports at our school that had both or just varsity or both junior varsity and varsity. Sorry, I know it sounds like I'm repeating those terms a lot and it sounds like I'm going in circles. I apologize. Please bear with me. And so we already had sports like basketball, volleyball, cross country. We already had these sports going for the school. And now what I was trying to do is throw badminton in the mix and say, hey, let's make badminton an official sport. Because all it had been so far was this thing that would maybe happen on like spring season in my sophomore year when that happened. That was completely random. Like, from what I remember and from what I know, that was not orchestrated or anything. That was just something they threw out there. Okay, nothing official at all. And so what I was trying to do ultimately was make it so that badminton would at least be a varsity sport, if not a junior varsity and varsity sport. And that takes a lot because we can't just have any sport be thrown into the mix and be classified officially as official, right? Like, you can't just go up to your school athletics director and be like, hey, I want bowling to be an official sport. Like, if you want it to be an official sport, we have to have other schools that also agree that it should be an official sport. They have a board meeting of these athletic directors from all different schools, and they all have to agree to admit this sport into their specific school, into their specific sort of circle of sports. And then they have to orchestrate all of these meetups and tournaments and teams. It takes a lot of work to make a sport official. And that's what I wanted to do, though. So what I ended up doing in my junior year of high school was I actually printed out a sheet of paper, or multiple sheets of paper rather, and I put them on this clipboard. I still remember it was a blue clipboard, and I attached a pencil to it. I still remember exactly what it looked like. And it basically had slots. It was a spreadsheet for people to write their name, I guess the date, their grade, and if they'd be interested in showing up to badminton practice. And, you know, basically what that clipboard was for was to indicate how many people in our high school were interested in making badminton an official sport. And so what I would do in my junior year of high school is I would go around with that clipboard at lunchtime, and I would go to all these different tables where people were sitting of all different grades, because grades 9, 10, 11, 12, we all had lunch at the same time. So that was the perfect time at lunch to go and get signatures and go and get people's names and see who was interested in making this an official thing. And the funny thing about my high school life is that I was not some invisible person, even though I was treated like that, right? People didn't pay much attention to me. And the thing is, though, people knew my face and my name. Like, I wasn't some completely unknown figure. People knew that I had existed. A lot of people did. I was one of the school's longest time students. I was at the same school for 10 years. And so you can imagine, a lot of people know my face and name by then. And so it was easy for me to go around to all these different tables and say, hey, you know, I'm thinking of starting a badminton team and making it official. Is this something that you would be interested in joining or supporting? I got a lot of signatures, and it was really funny. I still remember going to some tables and people would just pass around the clipboard and sign their name without even knowing what it was for. Like, they just saw their friends signing it and they were like, oh, what's this? And then they didn't even hear the full details. They might be like, oh, it's badminton. Oh, I'm sign me up. And so I gathered hundreds. I don't remember the specific number, but it was like at least a couple hundred signatures from my high school body that I gathered. It was a pretty, I don't know if it was a big or small high school. I'm not good at assigning. I'm not really good with numbers. Like, if you ask me the distance between me and a couch, I couldn't give you the number of feet. If you ask me the square foot of a room, I couldn't give you the number. If you ask me about the price of something, I couldn't give you a number. Like, I'm not really good with numbers. But I just know that there were a lot of signatures. Okay. And so, oh, and what I was trying to say is, I don't know if that's considered a big or small high school body, getting a couple hundred signatures. And we still had plenty of people who also didn't sign. But anyway, back to the main story. So what I did with those signatures and that clipboard was I went to my athletics director and I said, hey, you know, we have this many people who are interested in joining and or supporting the creation of an official badminton team. Can we make this work? And I met with my athletics director several times throughout the year. And it ended up, from what I did, we ended up being able to make somewhat of a team. We actually had tryouts, and this wasn't a thing. Because remember, at the end of in the spring season of my sophomore year, badminton was just a little excuse me, I think I choked on some spit there. Badminton was just a little after-school club thing. It was nothing official, nothing competitive. And we ended up actually having organized teachers who sort of behaved as coaches, but they weren't really coaching. It was just there for, they were just there for really supervision. And I ended up being the one to organize the tryouts. I made a Facebook group page for the high school, and I invited all the people that were interested. And I made the date, I organized the tryouts, and I'm not bragging when I say this, I'm just being as impartial as I can be. I was the best player out of everyone in high school. Well, at least, here's the way that I think of it. If someone is exceptionally good at badminton and somehow they don't have an interest, well, I wouldn't have known that because they didn't show up. And maybe there's somebody out there in high school who is better than me, but they didn't show up. All the people who did show up, they were not as good as I was. And I was not only the founder of the badminton team, I was also the captain and the first, I was number one in singles. And you know how, if you do sports, if you're not familiar with this, I'll explain it. They organize, there's like a hierarchy where the best players get like singles. In a sport like badminton or tennis, you would have singles players and doubles players. the best players on the tennis team would be singles, like 1, 2, and 3, in that order of best to not as good. I don't want to say worst or put people down, because if you're a singles player, you're still good. And then the less experienced players, from what I've seen and from what my understanding is, they would be in doubles. And so I was the singles one player. I was the best player, so I got the first singles position. And I still remember, like, see, they weren't coaches. This is what I mean by this. We did our tryouts, I evaluated, and I watched people play. It was really actually kind of interesting to flip that dynamic and be the one in charge of these students. Like, to be in that sort of leadership position, these students who had, sort of neglected me, not paid any attention to me, they were now fighting for a spot to be on my team. And so it's really interesting to think about now. And I saw how people were good at badminton. I saw how people were not so good at badminton. I took a lot of notes during the tryouts. I didn't really play much myself other than to prove that, hey, aside from being the founder, I actually have some skills here. And it's not that I'm the founder and therefore deserve the singles one spot, just for clarification. It's that I was actually better than all the other players. And my computer just went to sleep. And I'm gonna turn it back. Okay, guys, so this is actually really funny. I was turning my computer back on as I was talking about in my previous clip of this episode, and then I got a phone call. Fine time for a phone call, right? I'm in the middle of recording an episode on my phone, and so what ended up happening is the call basically force stopped my recording, and here we are, hitting the record button again. This is like the first time my episode has ever been spliced or split in two because of a phone call. So wonderful. History has been made. And now I put my phone on Do Not Disturb so that I won't get any more disruptions while I'm recording. So I turned my computer back on because I have an article placed in front of me on my school's page. And I looked at this article, and that's what inspired me to make this episode today. And so we'll get to the article in a second. I just want to finish where I was leaving off in my story. So we were talking about how I was not the singles player because I was the captain, right, or founder of the team. I was actually the best. And there was one guy I remember who was also really good of a player, and he became my singles number two. Why? Because I beat him. But he was still good, so I was proud to make him my singles number two. And I still remember getting home after the tryouts and opening up a document and writing down people's names, looking at my notes. And it was really, oh, I also, I think I, if I remember correctly, I had somebody else too who was helping me with the tryouts. Somebody who was also going to be, I think, no, he ended up being a doubles player, but I put him in doubles. But he also helped me watch people during the tryouts, and he helped take notes so that I could make better evaluations. Yeah, I remember him too. And so I got his notes, I had my notes, and I was single-handedly myself putting people in singles and doubles positions to play. And then I remember posting the results to my Facebook group page. And as you can see, the teachers had no part in that. They were simply there for supervision, as was the policy for sports. You got to have some adult supervision, and they weren't really coaches. And so I don't remember everything that happened in between, but after we made the singles and doubles teams and players, we had a, not like a tournament, but we had this event organized where we would have a school bus pick us all up and take us to another school to compete against that school's badminton players. So this wasn't like a tournament, but this was a sort of more real deal, because at the spring season of my sophomore year, we were very non-competitive. There were no tryouts, there were no teams, no single players, nothing like that. And it went from being that to me actually organizing tryouts, eliminating players, putting them in singles or doubles positions, and then being able to actually organize one of the school buses bringing us to another school to compete against their players. And when I became a senior, I delegated my position as captain of the badminton team to, actually, it was to one other guy and two other people, one guy, one girl. I still remember who they are. And I think the same guy who I put in doubles, the guy who helped me take notes during the, the same guy who helped me take notes during the tryouts, he also had a part to play in my legacy. Because I was graduating as a senior, right? And I wanted to make sure that the efforts of the badminton team would live on. And so I passed my position of leadership down to them. And I don't really know where it went from there. It's been 4 years since I left high school. And I didn't follow what had happened immediately after during those 4 years. And I just thought of looking it up today to see how far badminton has gone since my departure. And as it turns out, and this is why I have the article on my screen, two juniors at the school that I went to, who I have no idea who they are because I left a long time ago, they have recently obtained approval from the athletics director to, it says, reinstate the badminton team. So I guess maybe there was a period of lull where there wasn't a badminton team, and then they reinstated it. And it says, badminton is now an official winter sport for the first time in almost 4 years, and will be competing in assorted sporting events. And we have these organizations listed that basically were in charge of, like, the sporting. Remember I said there was, like, a board of directors that, you know, they had to have meetings and talk about these first before they make anything official. And I see two of them right here in front of me that were such organizations consisting of those board of directors and schools. And I guess now badminton's a part of them. And each of the boys and girls teams will be admitting 10 to 13 members. And it's, according to the poster here, it says it's varsity badminton. And so this is finally the sort of conclusion to this episode. This is what I meant. This is what I mean in the title by My High School Legacy. And I kind of want to tie this into what I'm doing today, the kind of content and work that I produce. You see, legacy is, you know, what happens, what you leave behind when you're no longer around. And my high school legacy, even though I'm not at high school anymore, I'm not at that school, I'm just not a part of it, and I'm gone. What I did several years ago has played out today, or rather this was in the end of 2019 when this article got published, but now we have an official varsity badminton team. Would that have happened had I not stepped up to the plate, took charge, and got all those signatures, had meetings with the athletics director, had tryouts, organized all the teams, did all that? It probably still could have happened, right? But would it have happened as soon as it did, had I not stepped up? Maybe not. Who knows? We can always speculate about what could have been, what could have happened, but we'll never know for sure, right? And so this is really my legacy for the high school that I went to. And it's really remarkable looking at this article. Like, I can't really describe the feeling. It sort of has to happen to you too for you to understand what I'm feeling right now. But let me just say that it's quite amazing. It's quite a good feeling to see the fruits of your labor, right? In the same sense that the people that I post content to online, when people reach out to me on Instagram in DMs and tell me how much of a role model I've been, how much I've motivated them, how much my advice has helped, that's sort of like the same feeling that I have right now, seeing that what I did several years ago for my high school has finally manifested into what I wanted it to be. Even though I'm no longer there, the efforts that I put into it have now the fruits of the labor are showing, right? It's now an official sport. It's a winter sport. And it's a varsity thing now. It's not just some club. It's not just something that we did in sophomore year of high school that was just a few weeks non-competitive. It is now fully competitive. It now has, actually, going onto the school website, it has a JV and a varsity team. So it's a much, much bigger deal than what it used to be when I was a sophomore. And it really got kickstarted because of what I did in my junior year. Now, sadly, I don't see any recognition anywhere, whether on this article or on the school website. I don't see any recognition of my name saying that I started this whole thing. But I know deep down inside that the things that I did were really the catalyst for this thing. And so this is what legacy is about, right? Not everything has to be done in your lifetime. Not everything has to be perfect or just where you want it to be while you're still alive. Depending on the level of impact that you have on people, the things can still happen even when you're no longer around, because there will be people who are around when you're not that could help push on the project or venture that you started. And these juniors, I have no idea who they are. They probably don't know who I am. It'd be kind of cool if they did, though, because he's the guy who started all this, right? They should know who I am. But maybe they don't, right? Regardless, it's, you know, the way that they pushed those efforts on, even though I'm no longer at school. That's what legacy is about. And so the things that I push for, right? A more united humanity, more peace, more empathy, more understanding, respect, and kindness. These things that I push with humanity, they're probably not all gonna take place while I'm still alive. You know, I'll try to do my part, but there's no guarantee that everything that I want to have happen in the world, you know, is gonna happen. Heck, maybe it might not ever happen, but it's something that I'm fighting for. And I've already taken steps. You know, people have already been changed by the content that I've produced. They've been affected by it. I've served as a role model, as an inspiration. The advice that I've given has worked. I've already helped push people in the right direction. So even if I die today, even if I die tomorrow, even if I die next week, I can rest easy knowing that I have already left somewhat of a legacy behind in these people. Because had it not been for me stepping up to the plate and influencing these people for the better, right? Who knows where they'd be today? Probably in a worse position. And so that's just something to think about. You know, how do you affect other people? What actions do you take today that could play out tomorrow? And so hopefully with my little story here of what I did in high school and the story of what I do today in my life outside of high school and how it affects other people, hopefully this inspires you, or at least starts you or gets you thinking about, you know, what you want to do and what your legacy could be. You know, it's a big thing to think about. It's not something so easy to just understand, right? And people have lots of different legacies, right? Maybe your legacy is coming up with the best strawberry pie that the world has ever seen because you love cooking and you love making pie. And you found a secret recipe that you invented, and you want to be your legacy. You want to leave behind the best strawberry pie the world has ever known. And then next thing you know, you see restaurants out there copying your recipe because it's something you came up with. And even though you might be deceased, or maybe you no longer cook, but you're still alive, you go to a restaurant and you look at the dessert section on their menu, and you see your pie on their menu. Right? It could be something as simple as that. It doesn't have to be something like what I'm pursuing, like a more united humanity. It can be something like that. Everyone has their own project to work on. But what I am saying is that I think we all have that capacity for legacy. It's just something that we have to realize and push for. So that's my 2 cents on legacy today. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I do appreciate you listening, as always. It means a lot to me. And if it weren't for people out there listening and consuming my content, right, what legacy would I have? If it weren't for people paying attention to to the things that I say and write, then I wouldn't have helped those people. People are motivated and inspired by what I do because they pay attention. And so I always appreciate people who take time out of their days to consume my content. And the people who listen to this podcast are no exception. So thank you for allowing me to be a part of your life. And I will see you all on the next episode. Take care. And with that said, this episode of Indomitable comes to a close. If you enjoyed this episode, feel free to share it and send it to a loved one who might enjoy it as well. If you'd like to see more of me and my content beyond the podcast, I invite you to take a look at my Linktree link at linktr.ee/LucasHawthorne. That's LucasHawthorne, where you'll find my social media accounts, written works, merchandise, and more. If you have any feedback at all, I'd love to hear from you. Send me a message and I'll get back to you. As always, thank you for your time. Thank you for listening to this podcast, and I hope you have a wonderful day.